Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And we welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic personalities who are going to show their talent with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, or repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes, and seated on my left, Julian Clary and Zoe Lyons. Please welcome all four of them! Beside me sits Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show with Julian Clary. Julian, the subject we're going to start with is Andy Warhol. Tell us something about that man in this game, starting now.
Andy Warhol, of course, was a pop artist. He did very well for himself. He's got his own museum nowadays. And if you want to buy one of his pictures, it's going to set you back several million. Can you imagine a picture of...
Paul, you challenge.
Yes, but I'm not sure. I think I might be wrong. Was it picture? Was it picture and pictures?
Pictures, he said the first
yes,
time. Yes,
yeah. I was going to say repetition of picture, but I was wrong.
You see, a plural and a single. Mm. Easy to do, Paul, but yes. Incorrect.
I should have waited until you got to the S.
So an incorrect challenge, Julian, so you get a point for that. And you keep the subject, and it's Andy Warhol. 46 seconds available, starting now.
He was a strange, enigmatic, anemic-looking man with this white hair that, if you ask me, had been overwashed and conditioned. A little bit frizzy. If he'd left it for a couple of days, it would have been much more controllable. And glasses. He wasn't keen on personal relationships, by all accounts. He liked to keep himself nice. Probably far too preoccupied with his activities in the studio. What shall I do today? Joan Collins. And he knocked off these amazing...
Oh. Paul, you challenge again.
Oh, there was a hesitation that time.
There was, yes.
As he knocked off Joan Collins.
Yes, I must say, I hesitated then when I thought, how do you knock off Joan Collins? I know.
It has been done.
Paul, a correct challenge. So you have a point for that, and there are 14 seconds available for you. Take over the subject, Andy Warhol, starting now.
Andy Warhol came to prominence with his paintings of Campbell's soup tins and Marilyn Monroe, and artists and other collectors gathered around this magnificent artist and said to themselves, he is the future. We have seen something that we have not been...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And it was Paul Merton who's naturally taken the lead at the end of the round. Zoe Lyons, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is simply litter. Tell us something about that distressing subject in this game, starting now.
I hate litter. I pick up litter when I am in the street, and I like to see other people doing the same. I appreciate it when I see youth that also find litter abhorrent. Recently, on a trip to Glasgow, I watched two young gentlemen sitting on a bench consuming two jolly cans...
Oh! Tony, you've challenged.
Yes, repetition of two.
Correct challenge, Tony. 41 seconds available for litter, starting now.
I've always been a huge admirer of the Wombles, who collect litter on Wimbledon Common. I've also wondered what you would call the creatures that collect rubbish on Shittingdale Park in Cumbria.
Volunteers. What else are they going to put on a badge?
Zoe, you've challenged.
Well, it's only because I know what you call them. They're poop scoopers on Shittingdale Park. That's what they are.
So what is your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
I think I've broken the rules, Nicholas. I haven't been here long. The rules aren't...
No, darling, you can't break the rules. You can just not...
I've bent the rules.
Hesitation, did you say?
Hesitation. It was a hesitation. Thank you, Paul.
Well, I will bend them even further and say that was the correct challenge.
I love these rules.
And you've got the subject, Zoe. Back with you. 23 seconds available. Litter, starting now.
People in the United Kingdom like to throw...
Julian challenge first.
Sorry, you said people earlier.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Did I really?
Yes. Oh, it's very difficult.
Your memory's a lot better than mine.
Well,
I don't completely... Yes, that, well, that's gone for me, love. I thoroughly enjoyed the 90s.
Sir Julian, the correct challenge. 20 seconds still available. Litter starting now.
I live down a country lane and every morning a car goes past and they chuck what I can only describe as a lower-end sandwich wrapper out and it lands in my drive. I think this is some kind of personal vendetta, but I'm trying to not let it get to me. It's litter, plain and simple. I pick it up, put it in the recycling bin.
On this occasion, it was Julian Clearney speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. And so he's now... Oh, he's taken the lead, one ahead of Paul Merton and Tony and Zoe Lyons are equal in third place. Mm. Tony Hawkes, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject, beside the seaside. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside, although it depends on what bit of seaside you're beside. To be honest, what shades it for me is the Barbados seaside ahead of Hull in February. It's a little bit more pleasant, is it? I'm a bit of a pedant. I'm wondering if beside the seaside...
And that is Julian who's challenged?
We had bits twice.
Oh, yes.
Oh, bits, yes.
I'm a bit of a pedant, and there was... I wasn't really listening, but a bit earlier on.
Julian, there has to have been one earlier. Was there one?
Yes.
34 seconds, Julian. Beside the seaside, starting now.
It's lovely being beside the seaside. It's the best place to get a blow on the front, which I think refreshes you and the cobwebs are gone in no time. Beside the seaside, where the sun beats down, as long as you're covered, in fact, to 15 to 20, depending on your skin type, you can have a lovely time. And you can eat some seafood, perhaps. Chips are very tasty at this time of year.
And, Tony, you challenge.
Well, I don't think they're any tastier at this time of year than any other time of year. Deviation.
No, it's to do with the potatoes.
Well, what else would it have to do with? The height of jumbo jets.
I think, to be fair, he was colloquially conveying that chips are very nice to have beside the seaside. Not that
Are they in season at the moment?
What's that?
Are chips in season?
No, they're always in season. You have chips any running time, can't you?
Well, that's my point. He did say that they're nice at this particular time of year.
I live beside the seaside, and I can assure you it is chip season. I've seen a lot of chips on the
street.
You can
get chips. You can get chips at any time.
They fly in from southern Spain, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like salmon spawning. They go back to the place where they originally were taken.
It's a good old British tradition, and chips are available at any time. And Julian enjoys his when he's beside the seaside.
Absolutely.
And
so I think what's going to happen here, my guess is that you're agreeing with my challenge, but you'll hand it back to Julian. That's the way I think it's going.
Well, that's a blatant attempt to influence the chairman, I think.
No, Julian, incorrect challenge.
Yeah. So I you told have... you.
And chips beside the seaside, Julian, are very nice. I agree with you. So you keep the subject.
I've lost the will to live.
Yeah. No, you can't die now. Not in the middle of chip season. Think how nice they taste now.
So, Julian, another point...
I know what I'm having tonight.
Yeah.
Chips.
Yeah.
Because you have them in November. They're disgusting.
Oh. If you offered me a chip in August, I'd punch you in the face.
If you like chips, they're good at any time of the year.
Yeah, that's my point!
But Julian likes his chips beside the seaside.
He's a connoisseur.
Yeah.
He likes something crinkle cut.
He can have chips beside the seaside or anywhere.
Yeah.
So, Julian,
he's a connoisseur.
No benefit of the doubt.
No.
An incorrect challenge. Yeah.
What?
You were talking then, weren't you?
Yeah.
Am I getting it back?
Yes.
No, you're not getting it back. You've got it.
Oh, I've got it.
Yes. You never lost it.
Well, how much time have I got?
Well, none of us have got very long.
This is why we enjoy playing Just a Minute. The interplay, the banter. And 7 seconds, Julian, are still available beside the seaside, starting now.
After you've had something hot inside you, the best thing to do when beside the sea is paddle. Roll up your trousers.
So Julian Clary was in, speakers the whistle, Wayne gained an extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Paul, we're with you to begin. Yeah. The subject, a brief encounter. 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
A brief encounter, famous as a film in the 1940s, starring Trevor Howard and Celia Johnson, a couple that prevaricated about starting an affair. These days, just have a quick one up against a signal box. Nobody would worry at all. But in those dark, depressed, wartime days, people weren't so...
Oh, yes. Tony.
Repetition of days.
Yes, in those
days. Oh, yes,
days,
quite possibly, yes. Yeah.
It was dark. So, Tony,
then
another
chips
point.
Chips were good then in those days. During the war.
Let's get back to that.
Yeah. They couldn't use potatoes in the war. There was a rush. They used to use cardboard and cement.
Tony, could you drop the, yes, the anxieties about chips?
Yes.
Yeah, what are you going on about chips for?
Yeah. Because he's peeved the fact that I didn't give him the benefit of the doubt.
It wasn't
at the
me! It was him! He did it, not me! Yeah.
I should never mention chips again.
Tony.
Yes.
You have a correct challenge. You have 43 seconds. A brief encounter starting now.
There is many a brief encounter that has produced an important person in the world. Allegedly, Confucius was born of a couple that did not wed. So too, Leonardo da Vinci, the bike sheds.
Important challenge.
What, the same couple had Leonardo da Vinci? Confucius. they had the same mum and dad. Confucius, he say, you build helicopter.
I do believe you're misunderstanding for comic effect.
I thought it was about time that somebody did.
Paul, we give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption.
I know where this is going.
But he wasn't deviating within the rules of just a minute. And he keeps the subject, Tony. A brief encounter, 27 seconds starting now.
I had a brief encounter in the supermarket the other...
Julian challenge.
You as well.
This is going to be a show of bonus points, isn't it? We enjoyed the interruption, Julian, but have you got a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No, but I'd like a bonus point.
The laugh is good enough for you to give you a bonus point. Well done.
Thank you.
Another bonus point to him, but a point to Tony because he was interrupted. And it's still a brief encounter. 24 seconds, Tony, starting now.
Some time ago, I'm not sure if it's the case now, but my dear friend Paul Merton had a very big screen in his home and he used to invite other performers back to watch films that he loved. Brief encounter, he told us time and again, was one of his favourites. And when...
Oh, Paul, challenge.
Deviation, I hate the film. I feel sorry for Celia Johnson's husband sitting at home while she's having a kiss with Trevor Johnson underneath the clock tower.
He was
so
away.
I don't know whether
you're
bluffing or not. Whether you... I got the impression...
I think it is a good film. So Tony was right.
That's what
I was
said
wrong
at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm going to accept the fact that you did establish at the beginning that it was a good film which you
yes,
enjoyed.
That's right, yeah.
Give him a bonus point because we enjoyed it.
Thank you. Didn't really deserve one.
But he was interrupted.
Absolutely.
So Tony gets a point for an incorrect challenge. For a correct challenge. I don't know what the bloody hell's going on here. But anyway, Tony, a brief encounter is still with you. 6 seconds to go, starting now.
I bought some pants the other day, and when I tried them on, the man said those briefs...
You tried them on in the shop. Yeah.
So what was the joke?
Well, I was going to say, did you try these underpants on in the shop? That was deviation. I thought the whistle went before I could get
that. That was the encounter part of the story.
Yes. Do you mind if I try these pants on before I buy them?
I hope you tried them on behind a screen.
I'm not willing to talk any more about this encounter. Outside of the minute, it's none of your bloody business.
Julian, we're back with you to begin. There are 60 seconds if you need it on tape measure, starting now.
Very important on a first date to take a tape measure with you. I think the inside leg is of particular interest. I like a man who's blessed in that department. No one, anything under, well, I'd say about 28 would managed to take me on a second date, let's put it that way.
Tony, you've challenged.
Is there a repetition of date?
Yes, first date.
Second date.
And Tony, correct challenge. 40 seconds are still available. Tape measure starting now.
I measured my penis earlier today. I used one of those builder's ones. A large tape measure was needed for there was...
So you've challenged just
clearly
in time.
A deviation from the truth.
I hope you're not speaking from experience.
And how many miles were you from Norwich?
There was also a slight hesitation.
Everything, darling.
Where he was impressed with his own measuring needs.
I wonder why you've left it so late in life to actually find out.
Well, it was a new tape measure.
Oh, I see.
I hope it wasn't one of those ones that snaps back into itself.
Now, we're talking about the tape measure anyway, so...
That's why I was buying a new
underpants. I don't know where this is going. But it's already gone too far.
Yes.
And, Zoe, I think we should take up the subject now and change the tone a little.
Yes.
And there are 28 seconds. You've got a point for a correct challenge, by the way. 28 seconds on tape measure starting now.
I would use a tape measure if I was going to make some home decorations.
Julian challenge.
Oh, hesitation.
There was a hesitation.
Be kind to me, Julian. I'm practically dropped off the score sheet.
All right, give Julian a point for a correct challenge. And Zoe won because she was interrupted. And she keeps the subject. And...
Yes.
And there are 23 seconds available, Zoe. Tape measure starting now.
I have a tape measure in my drawer at home, but I don't think I have ever used the tape measure because I don't really involve myself with handicrafts or any such activity that requires accurate measurement of cloth or wood or brick or paper, or in fact anything that could be cut into a different shape once it has been measured out accurately.
Well, you've certainly got this audience with you, Zoe, and you were speaking as the whistle went, and you have leapt forward, and you're still in third place. But you're equal with Paul Merton, great player of the game. And Tony Hawkes, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is A Midnight Feast. You have 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Take yourself back to the mid-80s if you can, and imagine an apartment in Edinburgh. Three comedians are about to have a midnight feast. One of them is Paul Merton, the other Mark Steele, and then there is the beautiful Tony Hawkes, who was also present.
Paul Challenge.
There's two of you. You have the beautiful Tony Hawkes, and you have...
So what is it, your challenge?
He didn't mention chips.
Have you a challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
No, not really. I didn't have much of a joke either, as it turned out. No, you liked it. Yeah, you liked it. No, I don't have a challenge, no.
No, but we loved hearing from you. Give him a bonus point.
Oh, that's great.
And Tony, you were interrupted, so yes. You get a point for that. Keep the subject, A Midnight Feast. 41 seconds available, starting now.
Sometimes a midnight feast isn't a good idea if you've only gone to bed at 11:55. It really isn't that much of a bonus in your life. However, I think one can play around with the timing a little bit in the meaning. Perhaps if you had a food at 3 in the morning, that might count.
Oh, Paul Challenge.
Well, it's not a midnight feast at 3 in the morning.
No, it wouldn't be a midnight feast.
That's deviation.
That was my point. I was trying to say, well, perhaps you could, you know,
I know what you were trying to say, but it didn't work within the rules of Just a Minute. So I gave the benefit of the doubt to him last time, Paul. You got it this time.
Okay.
And you've got 22 seconds. You tell us something about a midnight feast starting now.
So there I was with Mark Steele, the beautiful and witty Tony Hawkes, all four of us sitting around, eating chips from a paper plate, holding the crinkle cut potato up to the light and blessing King Edward and saying, there's a man who knew his spuds. And as the gravy was brought in, we looked at the clock.
Julian, you've challenged.
Was it me bringing in the gravy? I've got a distant memory.
I don't think you were part of it, Julian, actually.
Oh.
I know he would like
no,
to
I
be
No, I was, because I was sleeping with one of the Tony Hawks.
That was with the beautiful Tony Hawk.
That's the one.
Yeah. He's a cracker, he is. Very quiet, but he doesn't need to talk, basically, when you look like that.
Whatever happened to him?
Julie, have you a challenge, a legitimate challenge, within the rules of Just a Minute?
No, but I thought you'd like to hear from me, as you
said. I know. Give him a bonus point. I've given more bonus points in this show than every other show I've done. And who was speaking then?
I was.
It was Paul Merton. Yeah. So he was interrupted. He gets a point for that. And he's only got 2 seconds to go on the midnight feast starting now.
The individual marshmallows.
So Paul Merton, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. And Zoe, we're with you to begin. And the subject is Let Them Eat Cake, starting now.
Let them eat cake is what Marie Antoinette apparently shouted at the peasants as they were revolting behind the gates because they had no bread to consume. Let them eat cake, she demanded. It was a hard thing to say at the time. I think a harsher comment in today's environment where so many people are clearly gluten intolerant and cake is not an option for their dietary requirements. I live in the Brighton and Hove area of the country and I am surrounded by people who can no longer even look at a croissant in the same way. I myself am not a massive fan of cake because it is usually associated with some sort of festival activity that I don't want to be part of. A birthday, for example, or indeed a wedding where you get 3 tiers of cake that have been lovingly and very expensively put together only to be sliced to bits and left on bits of paper plate around the room.
Well, you certainly won the audience onto your side, Zoe. You started with the subject, you kept going till the whistle went, and you gained an extra point for doing so, and a bonus point for not being interrupted. And you move forward dramatically. You're still in third place. And Julian, it's back with you to begin. The subject, je ne sais quoi. Talk on it if you can. 60 seconds, starting now.
There are several people in this room who have a certain je ne sais quoi, that indefinable quality that marks them out from the hoi polloi. Call it charisma, if you will. It is as if they have been touched by a higher force. Zoe, you are radiating a je ne sais quoi. I can feel it under the velour tablecloth. It is... How can I describe it in so many words? I would go into French, but I don't want to alienate the people in certain parts of the country where they don't speak in many tongues as I do. It is a sparkle in the eye, a certain...
Tony! You challenged.
Yes, there was a hesitation.
There was, and your je ne sais quoi kept you going for 40 seconds, Julian.
Then it left me.
Then it left.
Well, there are 20 seconds left for you, Tony, on je ne sais quoi, starting now.
Je ne sais quoi, as we all know, is French for where did I leave my keys. I could continue in that language if you would like. Je ne sais quoi.
Yes, please.
Paul challenge.
I'd like him to continue in French. He said, if you like, and I immediately saw an opportunity not to necessarily play the game, but to sit back and try and learn something about our nearest neighbours.
Does it deserve a bonus point?
No, no, I don't want to...
No. All right.
Don't lower audience... our standards.
The audience say you deserve a bonus point.
Well, they've...
But Tony was interrupted, yes, so he gets it. A point. And 10 seconds still available, Tony. Je ne sais quoi, starting now.
Si quelqu'un est très spécial, il est possible de dire qu'il a le je ne sais quoi qui est extraordinaire dans ce monde.
Paul Chan.
Repetition of qui?
Does that come
with chips?
And what I said then was, I think you deserve the point, and you've got in with 3 seconds ago, Paul, on je ne sais quoi, starting now.
As I toasted the marshmallows, I looked at the headmaster and I said...
So, let me give you the situation as we move into the final round. Zoe, she's training just a little in fourth place, but it's a brilliant fourth place. She's just behind Tony Hawks and Julian Clary, equal in second place. And they're trailing Paul by 3 points as we move into the final round. And Zoe, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the magnifying glass. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The magnifying glass is the instrument of choice for any sleuth, either amateur or professional. We know this because if we look at pictures of Sherlock Holmes, it was part of his accessory kit, along with his hat and his pipe. We don't know why he used the magnifying glass. Maybe it was to investigate crime, or maybe it just made his pipe...
Oh, and Julian challenged.
Oh, I feel awful.
I know, I feel awful.
But we had two maybes. We also had two no's earlier. I'll let that go. I thought it's not fair.
If you've got a correct challenge, a point to you, Julian. 39 seconds available. The magnifying glass starting now.
My dear great aunt Tess, who is now 103, will not go anywhere without her magnifying glasses. Ordinary things that you wear across your eyes don't work, but the magnifying glass, when she gets her daily mirror out...
And Zoe, you've challenged.
I think there was a bit of a hesitation.
There was a bit of a hesitation, so we've got a correct challenge, Zoe. And there are 25 seconds still available. The magnifying glass starting now.
I don't use a magnifying glass because I like to keep things in perspective. If I did use a magnifying...
Tony, challenge.
Repetition of use.
Oh, yes. Well, listen,
it's
Tony.
Tricky, this, isn't it? It's tricky.
So 18 seconds are still available, Tony. The magnifying glass starting now.
What is it about little boys that makes them want to use magnifying glasses to fry insects? I did this and I'm a peaceful man now, and yet back when I was 9 years old, nothing was more exciting. Hold it up to the sun.
So, let me give you the final score. Zoe Lyons finished in a very strong fourth place, but it was a good one, because she was only... Yeah. Your contributions were lovely, Zoe, and you were only 3 points behind Julian Clary. He was only 1 point behind Tony Hawks, and Tony was only 1 point behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. So... It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Zoe Lyons and Julian Clary. And I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with great aplomb when the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, who is Matt Strong. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Shaw Theatre. And so from them, me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, thank you. Tune in again when we next play Just a Minute!
Just a Minute is fantastic, isn't it? Now, tomorrow we'll be in Edinburgh for the very best comedy from the festival. Fresh from the Fringe is here on Radio 4 Extra at this time tomorrow.